Most of us yearn all our lives for the very things that this man enjoyed. His youthfulness, his riches, him being a powerful person as a ruler. Many of us yearn for those things. If only I were young again. If only I had power. If only I had wealth. The young man had a lot of money. For us, so often, I have heard those who have the retirement plan that if I win the lottery, if they call my numbers, then, what a terrible plan. For the very few who do win at the lottery, it's often that they spend that money just as quickly as it comes and then are left with a bigger appetite for much, much more, but now back to the small wage and income that they had before they won the lottery. Most of us don't win the lottery. And in fact, you have more chance of being struck by lightning than you have of winning the lottery. Sorry about that, but that's the real news right here from this pulpit today. This man has it all, and yet his life is empty. How many times is that story repeated where people have it all? Youthfulness, power, riches, and yet within themselves they feel an empty void. Jesus is addressing this empty void in this young man. One thing you lack. While you've done these things, followed the law and fulfilled the law, you've not done what's right. And Jesus points him in the direction of doing what is right. And for this young man, is to give it all away. Turn his back on that and go in a different direction to come and follow Jesus. For this young man, that's what stood in his way. For others, it might be an athletic career and a dream of being a great athlete, setting a record. For others, it might be discovering the most distant planet or star out there and naming it after themselves. We all have something as human beings that stand in our way that Jesus asks us, that in following him that we let go of that one thing or those things that stand in our way. The Gospel of Mark gives us a touching picture of Jesus who really understood this man. Mark, in his style, he tends to add comments that here, as Jesus looks at the man, he uses the phrase seeing or looking. Mark will often add in feelings at that certain time. And as Jesus looks upon this young man, Mark tells us that Jesus loved him. Jesus wasn't critical of him, wasn't accusatory at him, wasn't wagging a finger at him saying, if only, Jesus loved him. One thing you lack, Jesus says. And in this one thing you lack, Jesus actually gives him two commands. First, he's to go. Go sell what he has, give it to the poor, and then secondly, come, follow Jesus. Jesus is giving us a hint that the opposite of being rich is not being poor. The opposite of being rich is being free. Free to live. Free to do what you love to do. Free to live in the way that you've been yearning to live. Till now, this man has been a prisoner to his riches, to his fame, to his way of life. And in following Jesus, he must turn his back on that and let it go in order to follow, to come and follow. It is the human desire to cling to what we know, what is familiar. But so often Jesus is asking us to let go, and come. Do you know how to trap a monkey? Drill a hole in a coconut, put about a cup of rice in the coconut, the empty coconut. That monkey will find the coconut, stick its little hand into the coconut, grab hold of the rice, and you got him. He will not let go. He has rice, and the coconut has him. And now you have the monkey. We have a similar pattern of reaching in and taking hold and never letting go. Because what we have in our hand, we think, is far more valuable than what Jesus will do with our lives. And we're afraid of that. We know what we have, but we don't know what Jesus will do with us. At some point, we've got to let go of our things. Jesus tells this rich young man to give away all he had. In a way, Jesus is reminding us that at the end of our days, when they are putting us in the casket, in our casket into the funeral hearse, behind that hearse, a U-Haul trailer with all possessions is never latched onto it. We can't take it with us. We go to our graves without the things that we have been working so hard for in our lives. For Jesus, he is putting a crossroad in front of this man. And you know that great catcher and his phrases, how he would say, when you get to a fork in the road, take it. And what's his name? Because I can't think of it right now. Lois, I knew I needed you. See, this is the way it works. Thank you. Yogi Berra had such fun for sayings. For this young man, it was time for him to take a fork in the road and go in a direction he had not taken before. Where he had done what was legal and lawful, now Jesus is saying, do what is right. Right for you, right for others, and right for God. There are those here in our midst who are taking Jesus seriously and who are living their lives in such a way that it's not just focus on themselves, no, it's focusing on others. You've had the pleasure, and I have too, of hearing from elders month after month a series of questions I've asked each of them about their lives. And along the way, many wonderful things have been said about what they want to do before their life is ended and before their time here on this earth is done. In the recent newsletter that's just gone out, you hear from Mark, but it's also echoed by Marcy, his wife, that their desire in their lives is not to have lots of stuff, but to be paid for. Have the things that they have paid for, and to live to see their grandchildren. I think many of us would echo that. Someone asked me, what was my dream? And it was to see my grandchildren. And then realizing my teenage children were sitting in the audience in the congregation, and I said, but don't hurry. Don't hurry, children. One day, I too, like Marcy and Mark, want to see my grandchildren. There are others that have taken Jesus seriously. For instance, Lois is thanking God every day for the day that she's got, because one more day is another gift. Live it to the fullest. That's what Lois is doing. And I may get in trouble for saying this, but did you know that Mark Williams is a big tipper? That when he goes to the restaurant, he leaves an unusually large tip in thanks not only for the good service given by that waiter or waitress, but also in recognition that their life is hard. And he knows that because he has worked hard in his life, and he wants to share and thank them. There are ways in which each and every one of us take Jesus seriously and leave the stuff that we work so hard on, the possessions and the keeping the law, in order in following Jesus, that we do what's right. Yesterday, Diana and I gave up our Saturday to move heavy boxes and heavy items as we moved our daughter into her new apartment. And last evening, as both our legs and arms and shoulders were sore, we looked at each other and said, it was the right thing to do. We could have watched football, huh? Oh. I could have watched football and she'd have done anything else instead. These are simple examples. But step by step, we are seeing how we can turn our lives in ways of service in order to make someone else's life easier, better, and to remind them that God loves you, even at tough places. Well, when Jesus says this to this young man, you have one thing left to do, the young man is grieved, sorrowful, because he couldn't turn his back on those things. Contrast this rich young man's reaction to what Jesus asks of him as he goes away sad and grieving to the joy of the disciples who have been following Jesus. And look what they've left behind. Two of them have left fishing nets behind. Two more have left a fishing boat and their father behind. Another one has left a lucrative career pushing his chair away from being a tax collector. You can get rich doing that. All of them had walked away from something. Not because it was required of them, but because as they walked from that following Jesus, that other stuff just fell away, wasn't important. And so they turned their back on it to follow Jesus. And so Jesus today asks us a simple question. What kind of person do we want to be? We can be one that follows the law always and is safe in following the law, but usually finding us empty inside. Or we can do what's right. Right by our heart saying, I need to do this. And the need of a person asking us, will you help me? And we respond, yes. And right in the way of us living our lives as God intended us to do, making this planet, this moment better than it was than when we first arrived in it. We can be like that monkey, putting our hand into a coconut just to grab one handful of rice. But I don't think that's what we want our lives to end up as, just one handful of rice. We want our lives to make a difference. And wherever we are in our age, not youthful, wherever we are in our economics, not rich, wherever we are in our power quota, not powerful, we want to make a difference, a positive difference with the day that we live. That at nighttime when we lay our head on the pillow, we can say, there. That's the best good I can do. I made a difference, a positive difference in that one person's life, in that one moment of living. What kind of person do you want to be? I want to be that kind that makes a difference. Will you join me in singing together, Precious Lord, Take My Hand? Let's remain seated while we sing from hymn number 404.